RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is Ian Beckles, flavor. And this is my hour and a half to spew my rhetoric every week. I do have a show on 102.5 The Bone, which airs every Sunday morning from 11 to 1. I have some special guests. This week's show is from Gennaro's Pizza on Paso Grill Beach. They have some of the best pizza in the world, and they actually have a lobster pizza there that came from a lobster ravioli that Marcello put together. And the great Johnny B from 102.5 The Bone said, hey, why don't you put that on a pizza? And he put it on a pizza, and it's probably the tastiest pizza I've ever had in my life. And I kind of love pizza like everybody else. So Gennaro's on Paso Grill. I'll be there on Sunday with my special guest, the lovely JoJo from Migs and Swig. I'm going to have Mo from A Cat Named Mo, who we know once again from 102.5 The Bone. And we're also going to have Jesse Cage, who is a name that we've heard for quite a long time here in the Bay Area. Good people. He has some good things going on. So go check us out. Gennaro's on Sunday, 11 to 1. Now, has anything happened since last week and we talked last? And, you know, I usually do a little page of notes, and I have a couple pages of notes. And fortunately or unfortunately, 2/3 to 3/4 of it is politics. So if you're scared of politics, and I'm going to say this too, if you're a Donald Trump fan, I run now, okay? Because it's getting to a point now where y'all are few and far between. But I'm going to get back to that eventually. Something happened today on the drive-in. I'm at my dignitary headquarters here, driving in, listening to all these different stories of people talking about Steve Harvey. We know Steve Harvey, been around for a long time, the Kings of Comedy. Has had numerous shows. He had that fiasco with, I think it was Miss Universe, I think it was, which ended up probably doing more good than bad, other than him taking a lot of grief from a lot of ham and eggers. Probably did more. I bet the ratings this year were fantastic because people were waiting to see him make another mistake, and he did not. There's not a lot of mistakes if you look back to Steve Harvey's career. He took a lot of flack for going to talk to Donald Trump, which I don't think you should get flack for talking to somebody. Now, if you listen to the context of the conversation and maybe if you have some of the same ways as Donald Trump, then maybe you should take some flack. But we don't know what was said behind closed doors. And I guess he was speaking on behalf of the hood, which is where people need to be represented. And I think that's part of our problem. I don't want to get into politics too early, but there ain't nobody really speaking on behalf of people in need, okay? Nobody at all. You've seen a lot of people that look exactly the same, that came from money, and that's where all the decisions are being made. Anyways, back to Steve Harvey. If you know anything about Steve Harvey, he's been around a long time. I would say in Hollywood, if he's not top 10 most popular people or entertainers in Hollywood right now, I'm not sure who the next 9 would be. I mean, Steve Harvey is everywhere. Podcasts, radio, television, game shows, clothing line, the whole 9 yards, okay? Now, you know, I'm a ham and egger who had a radio show here in Tampa, Florida, and sometimes things get hectic. There's a lot of things going on, okay? I've sat in for Mike Calta a couple times, and, you know, while you're getting prepared, sometimes people are pulling you and tugging you in a lot of different directions. And today, the big topic was Steve Harvey, that bad person. He came out, and he basically sent an email to his, you know, people who worked with him, okay? So people who see him every day. And I want you to listen to what he said. And people are up in arms about this. Like, he's a terrible person. I want you to listen to what Steve Harvey actually wrote in the email. And I'm going to break it down as scientific as I can, okay? And everybody see things a different way. Here we go. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Okay? It sounds harsh. It does. I understand that. But does anybody know what it's like to be Steve Harvey when you have not one show, not two shows, not three shows, eight shows every day? Do you know that when Steve Harvey probably prepares himself in the morning, he probably says, well, I'm in my dressing room from 9 to 9:15. I'm going to get this done. And then at 9:15 to 9:30, I'm going to get this done. If you're just walking and parading into his locker room or his dressing room, he's going to be behind in what he's trying to do, which is more important than whatever the hell you have to bring in there, okay? Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. He's a big deal, okay? You just can't roll into people's dressing rooms. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak to you directly. Once again, if you're in a makeup chair, that means you're just about to go on television. Therefore, you have to be preparing yourself to be great. So if you're preparing yourself, you know, doing the, you know, Miyagi thing and in your brain and trying to be creative while people are bothering you every 2 seconds, he's probably trying to get into the zone while he's getting his makeup. So if in the middle of that, people are coming to him with a lot of different questions, that's obviously not what he wants. Okay. So listen, don't approach me while in my makeup chair, unless I ask you directly. Makes sense, okay? He's trying to do a show prep. And he said basically at the end, okay, I don't want you to take offense of the new way I'm doing business. It's for the good of me, my personal life, and enjoyment. You have to give somebody their space. And what's great is he could have easily just said, everybody leave me alone. Or he could have just been an a-hole. And things would have been a lot different. You know, you look at people like Bill O'Reilly, who, from what it sounds like from the outside, has just been an asshole his whole life. We've heard the whole, you know, clip of Bill O'Reilly going absolutely crazy when somebody made a mistake with a telestrator. And he doesn't sound like a guy I really want to work with. I don't know Steve Harvey personally. But from what it sounds like, he cares about what people think. But things have to change, okay? I was in a situation once where I was on a radio show. I had a show that started at 12 o'clock at iHeart. And at 11:55, our guy who does the spots for commercials came up to me and throws me a script. And he says, this needs to be done by noon. And it's at 11:55. I'm about to go on air at 12. And I said, yo, bro, I'm not cutting a spot. I'm not cutting a 60-second spot when I got 5 minutes left to do my show. He got huffy about it and cussed at me. And I'm thinking, first of all, I'm the talent, okay? And I'm about to go on air in 5 minutes. It's really important that I'm at ease, that I'm feeling good about myself. I'm sorry that you waited until there was 5 minutes left to get something done. I'm sorry. But you just can't throw something in my face anytime and expect me to just get it done. So I think a lot of people who are judging Steve Harvey, and I've heard them on the radio, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Come on. You got to understand, you can't give people carte blanche to just jump into your life whenever the hell they want to and just feel comfortable about the whole damn thing. So for those of you that like, I think it's one of, if you like Steve Harvey, you'll look at it a different way. If you don't like Steve Harvey, then obviously you're going to have different sentiments. So I feel like it was funny driving in, listening to all those kind of things and all the different attitudes. And like I said, it's a lot like politics, because with all the things going on, there's still two huge sides. I just see one side myself, but there's still two huge sides. Another big story that was going on this week was my boy Lonzo Bell comes out and he creates a shoe. Big Ballers Brand is the name of his brand. That's his brand, all right? We've all known that his father has been meddling for a long time, and I don't know whether his father is good for him in the long run, but they're taking a chance. When you go out and start your own line and start your own brand, you're taking a chance. I believe he could have went out and got a couple, $3 million from Adidas or from Nike or whoever it may be. So he's taking a chance. From what I heard, he made $150,000 the first day. That's cool. We don't know if that's going to go up or that's going to go down. But A lot of people are crucifying this young guy. Shaq jumped in it too. Well, you shouldn't be making $495 shoes. Don't buy them then. So I don't understand, like, what? Why are you complaining that somebody's making an expensive shoe? You know what? You know how many times I spent $495 on running shoes? Not never. Not one time, nor will I. Never. If somebody wants to buy them for me, I'll wear them. Size 13, please. But if you are in the market of buying $495 running shoes, which I don't know anybody that is, God bless you. Why would Shaq be mad about that? Seriously. I mean, Gucci charged a lot for their shoes. They're not any better than any other shoes. They're just more popular. Actually, I have a pair of Gucci shoes, and they're the most uncomfortable things I've ever worn in my life. But I still wear them because they're pimp, though. Okay? So that's what that's all about. So when you look at Kanye West and all these people, and they're like, hey, Kanye's stupid. Well, there's a lot of stupid people buying some expensive-ass shoes. So I don't hate him for it. I really don't. He passed up a couple $3 million to take a chance as a business person. Now, if Lonzo Bell comes out and he's average, he's going to be ass out, okay, because he's better be pretty damn good. And his father already is, you know, spewing madness, talking about he's better than Stephen Curry and all that kind of stuff. So I would slow your roll on that one real quick. And it took Stephen Curry a while to become what he is. And I don't know how much longer it's going to last, because in the NBA, you won't get beat up. And that young man is getting beat up a little bit. He's not quite the same player he was, you know, last year or the year before. But it doesn't hurt when you have two guys on your team that are just as good as you. And you may be one of the better players in the planet. So I definitely have my eyes on what's going on in the NBA, because it's playoff time and a lot of preliminary stuff goes on. But at the end of it, it's going to be the Cavs and Golden State. Over. I don't even know if they're going to lose, because the Celtics ain't beating the Cavs. That ain't going to happen. And it is playoff time, and that means LeBron time. So those of you that hate LeBron, you better hope he doesn't win a championship again, because as much as I love Michael Jordan, if he wins another one, everything's going to change. And if he's not the best guy already of all time. There's a couple other very interesting names in sports, and my roots are sports. So I like to sprinkle a little sports in there before I get serious with this politics stuff, because it's about to get serious. John Daly, the great John Daly, won a tournament, a seniors tour tournament. John Daly hasn't been relevant in a long time. First of all, congratulations to John Daly. He's been around a long time. I don't know if he's a Tampa native, but he definitely has roots here. I know his girlfriend's from here, or it could be his wife at this point. She used to work for Hooters. Nice girl, Anna. And John Daly's really been irrelevant for a long time, yet relevant. And to me, John Daly is kind of an anomaly to me in an odd way, kind of. I've never seen an athlete act an ass so much and be so dang popular in my whole damn life. What, like when I hear people speak of John Daly and talk about John Daly, it sounds like he's doing good things in society. I love John Daly. I'm so happy for John Daly. He's such a good guy. What has he done that's good? What has John Daly done that's good in the whole world? This is what I know of John Daly, okay? He's a golfer with unbelievable skill set that doesn't practice that damn much and doesn't really love the game. He smokes cigarettes like they're about to ban cigarettes. He's smoking cigarettes on the course, and I don't give a rat's ass who says an athlete shouldn't be smoking cigarettes while they're competing. Sorry. What would happen if a football player sparked up a cigarette on the sideline? Could you imagine what would happen? The other day, LeBron James grabbed a beer and faked he was going to drink a sip one. People were going crazy. Can you imagine an athlete sparked up a cigarette on the sideline? He's smoking cigarettes as he's competing a sport, which doesn't say much about the sport. And I said, listen, being a great golfer might be the hardest thing in the whole world, maybe other than blocking Reggie White. But it's not an easy thing to do. To master golf is tough. And nobody's mastered it. Nobody, ever. Just as you think you mastered it, you're going to take a couple steps back. But John Daly's one of them funny guys where he's so dang popular. And I remember John, first of all, wearing those clown pants, okay? That should be a reason to not ever like the guy ever. Then I remember him selling paintings out of the back of his van while he was on a PGA tour. I'm just going to say this one. I'm sorry. He's lucky he's not a brother. That's all I'm going to say. John Daly, if he was a brother, he'd have been gone a long time ago. He wouldn't have not one fan, okay? So I like, you know, I would like to sit down and have a drink with the guy. Why? Because he's an alcoholic? And when he was on the course sitting there crying and belly aching, oh, I'm crying, I need a drink. Why is that good? He's just a good guy. Why is he a good guy? Because he's terrible with all the women he's ever been, or because he's an alcoholic, or he smokes a lot, or he's got a big fat belly and looks terrible in those terrible pants? I don't understand that whole anomaly thing. I don't get it. But he's relevant, and you know what? He just won a tournament, and you know what's going to happen? He's going to make crazy endorsements because there's a segment of the United States that absolutely loves him. I'm just happy I don't hang around with most of them. Now, that was kind of low, but I'm going to go up high with it. Tim Tebow, yo. Okay? There's no more polarizing name in all of the world universe than Tim Tebow. I like to bring his name up as much as I can. I do not want to lap his fluids like a lot of other people do in this Bay Area. And they would lap up the fluids. Men, women, dogs, everybody want a little bit of Tim Tebow's fluid. By the way, he said he's going to go back to ESPN and do some college stuff and where he should stay. I don't know if he's just trying to be relevant. But, you know, for me, for people that come up to me, hey, you see Tim Tebow hit a home run the other day? Yeah, I saw it 98 times. I couldn't change the channel without seeing Tim Tebow hitting a home run in single-A baseball. By the way, he's hitting .222, and he has two home runs in single-A baseball. Therefore, his chance of making the majors is less than zero. It ain't happening. I mean, he's hitting .222, two home runs. That means he can't hit for average. He can't hit for power. But he makes up for it because he has a below-average glove and a terrible arm. I know he looks good in a spandex shirt. I know Under Armour loves him. If he ever made it even to AA, he would sell crazy jerseys. And I haven't looked into it, but I bet Tim Tebow has probably sold more baseball jerseys than a lot of guys that are in the league right now, guaranteed. Is he ever going to make it? Hell no. And you know what's in a funny way is I have a lot of respect for Tim Tebow. I do. As an athlete, I have respect for him. I just don't have respect for the way people view him. He has, and for people I see on ESPN who are real athletic people and who have been around sports before, if at any time it came out of your mouth that he has a chance of making it in Major League Baseball, you're disrespecting the game of baseball from way back in the day. Nobody can pick up a sport in their mid-20s that they hadn't played since high school and excel. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know how skillful you have to be to hit a major league pitcher? These are single A pitchers he's going against. And he can't hit them. He has zero chance. So, I mean, we're still going to see Tim Tebow, I guess. Once again, I think he looks fantastic in what he's wearing. But it's getting to the point where I've seen enough. He does an adequate job when he's on ESPN and he's going over some college stuff. He doesn't say anything all that outlandish. So maybe he should stay with that. And I've said this many times before. He should start public speaking. I'm almost positive Tim Tebow can fill up Amalie Arena. Maybe Raymond James. If Tim Tebow is speaking on Saturday night at Raymond James, and he wouldn't even have to say what he's talking about, I think he fills up the whole stadium because people are coming from Gainesville. People are coming from Ocala. People are coming from Lake Floridasasa and all those places. So that would be my advice to Tim Tebow. Maybe pack up the cleats now and just go with the hair and the spandex thing. It's working for you. Under Armour, baby. So I was just having a conversation with my buddy Brad Fisher, who owns Sunset Salsa. And we were talking a little bit about politics, and we've been chatting a bit. And, you know, a lot of people who say that they haven't had any part in politics, that's fine. I'm with you. My whole life, I've backed away from politics because the long and short of it is I just don't believe in it. I don't believe in magic, okay? Like, when I see a magician, I go, that's cool. But I don't believe in magic. And I certainly don't believe in politics, because why would we believe something that never tells us the truth at any time? Like, there's no documentary or time where I've heard good things coming from the government. I'm waiting. I don't know. Maybe that documentary exists. I just don't think it does. I think right now, it's 110 or so days. Every day is like dog days or dog years, almost. Like, every day in this new regime seems like it's 7 years. Okay. Like, literally, you know, people are like, what's going to happen in 4 years? Ain't no, if at this pace in the first 100 and some days, it goes this way for 4 years, our existence is going to be gone. There's no way, because it's clear to me at this point, and I want you to listen to me, and you can decipher, or you could, you know, distinguish what, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say something. You could take it for what it is. We sold our soul, whatever that means to you. But I don't know if I don't know, but somebody's soul was sold, period. I don't know who, where, what, but something real funky's going on, and there's a whole lot of covering up going on. I don't know for who. Well, I don't know if it's for everybody. I don't know if we're covering up for just the president. I don't know if we're covering up for his whole cabinet. I don't know if we're covering up for the government in general. I don't know if we're covering up for the system. But there's a lot of people right now that are losing their jobs because, and listen to me closely, they're telling the truth. Shame on you. If you tell the truth in our United States government, the next thing happens is you will be fired. Okay? Done. Now, look at all the things that have transpired in the last week or so. And just the other day, my wife walks in and I'm watching every, you know, political show known to man. And she's like, why do you keep on watching it? Nothing happened today. And it just so happened that Comey was fired, which they had the FBI, who happened to have been investigating Donald Trump and our politicians. So the guy who's investigating me, I'm going to fire. Now, if somebody's investigating me, first of all, if you're investigating me for something that I didn't do, it shouldn't matter who's investigating me, should it? And if it's going smoothly, I certainly won't fire you. So I guess Comey, shame on him, was asking for more information about stuff about Trump and the politics. And they're like, oh, you didn't handle Hillary Clinton well. You were being mean to Hillary, so we're going to fire you. That's the biggest crock of crap I've seen in a long time. And for everybody to sit there and smile and justify all this stuff is becoming a little bit silly to me. The whole thing is becoming silly. And it's almost like Comey and my girl, Sally Yates, who was also fired, they got fired for telling the truth. And almost like in the hood, you know, in the hood, everybody says nobody snitches. It's almost like they're calling them snitches. So I don't know if we're hearing too much, because we're only hearing a portion of it because they're hiding a whole lot. Okay. I don't know what the situation is, but it's about to get ugly because people are digging. And it's one of those things where they're digging, but they don't really want to find anything. And for Donald Trump to fire Comey, and basically he said, the FBI needs leadership that will equal trust, you know, in our people. And that's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? Leadership and trust. I'll go and randomly pick 100 people out there. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. If I say, do you trust the government? How many people are going to say yes? And is there the difference between the FBI and the government? By the way, they're supposed to be, by the way, they're supposed to be separate. But we just saw our president fire the head of the FBI, who was investigating him. So it's just like, to me, this equates to, you know, when an SEC team, a dirty SEC team, which seems like a lot of them are, they say, Auburn, Yeah, we have somebody investigating all the misdoings of what's going on in college football. You're going to get your own guy to investigate you? That's what our government is doing. They don't like the way somebody's investigating you. So now we're going to sit and wait for the government / Donald Trump to bring in his guy to investigate him? I don't know. I don't know why anybody, and I'm watching it all. I'm watching both sides. And one side is just bull jiving yourself. You just are. Come on. At this point, you got to go, this is not good. It ain't good. And to watch Sally Yates up there, who to me, and I've been watching it all, has been the most likable person I've seen on up there yet. The most likable, real person, okay? And in one way or another, she seemed out of place, okay? So what she did was, Sally Yates, the former attorney general, what she did was accuse Mike Flynn of lying and underlying conduct. Underlying conduct, I'm not sure what that means, but it's not positive, okay? So that's what she accused Mike Flynn of. And she was warning the White House that Flynn could be blackmailed by the Russians, which I think is a good warning. It's a good warning, right? She got fired for that. So shortly after, Flynn got fired. So Sally Yates got fired for telling the truth, right? She told them, this guy's bad. This guy's on both sides. And then they found it out, or that he was too involved, and they had to kick him to the side. So you better not tell the truth. That's a whole soul or soul thing, because stuff is coming out. And the FBI is the government, and you're going to fire a guy that's investigating you. So basically, Comey got fired for telling the truth. Okay? So if you tell the truth in the government, you're going to be fired. That's it. And for them to come out and say that Comey got fired for the way he investigated the emails from Hillary Clinton, because Donald Trump already applauded that. He applauded it and actually stroked Comey the whole way through until he didn't want to stroke him anymore. And I actually heard, and by the way, Donald Trump fired him through a letter that he didn't read till after he saw he was fired on television. And I actually watched somebody on television look in the camera and say, well, that's not a big deal because Donald Trump doesn't like confrontation. Wasn't he on a show that fired people in their face and watched him walk out? So he doesn't like confrontation. He doesn't want to fire the head of the FBI in person, the head of the FBI. In person, you can't fire that guy in person. But you can fire people on a television show and say, you're fired, and watch them walk out and talk bad about their mother. He even talked bad about Arnold Schwarzenegger after that. He doesn't like confrontation. Since when does Donald Trump not like confrontation? So at this point, do people still believe that there's no, that Russia and the United States aren't all hugged up in one way or another? They're in cahoots. They got to be hugged up. How can you investigate nothing for this long? And if there's nothing, why would Comey have been fired? By the way, my boy Putin, who's sitting back and running the world, by the way, that's a strong SOB. My boy Putin, when this was all going on, he was on a hockey rink in Russia playing hockey. And as he came off the ice, a couple reporters came up to him and said, did you hear about the news? And he knew nothing about it. He played dumb. And I guess his team won 17-7. And Putin scored 7 goals. So to me, that's like when Obama played basketball that time. You going to foul Putin? I was a foulness cat back in the day. Well, I'll put someone on the ground. I'm not putting Putin on the ground. He can do whatever he wants around me. He could do, you know, his Euro step. I'm not messing with Putin on the ice. I'm not touching him. Because if you read up on some stuff, anybody that speaks against him, they fall out of balcony, 4-story balconies accidentally. That happens. Or, you know, these funny deaths that come out of nowhere. So Putin's in a good place. As far as we are with a country, I don't know where the hell we are, people. I don't know. All I know is it's entertaining and sad at the same time. Entertaining and sad, because what I'm watching, I just don't think I understand it. Or maybe I do understand it, and I don't want to understand it. Because it's getting to a point right now where it's getting real, real scary. And what's going to, how is it going to end? What's going to happen for this to be over? And when it is over, if it's over, you hand it over to Pence? Then what? I mean, it's the same cats, right? And the people that are making these decisions, you know, in our government, I'll give you a for instance. You know, the Senate GOP is now replacing the Obamacare, okay? There's 13 votes, and they showed the 13 faces that were voting. It could have been the same person. Like, they're all middle-aged, rich, white people, which is our government. Okay, but who's going to make decisions for people that need a needy people? Like, those 13 faces, nobody ever ate a butter sandwich, okay? I wasn't poor, but I've eaten butter sandwiches before. Like, nobody's ever come from the gutter, or nobody's ever started from nothing. Politicians don't normally start from nothing, okay? They just don't. It doesn't work that way. They don't let you climb too high if you start from the gutter. They will stop you. So, you know, the politicians are basically country club cats. God bless you. Grow up with a silver spoon, but all the decisions that are being made to help rich and wealthy people. I think you have to see that by now. And listen, I'm around some rich people sometimes. I'm even around some wealthy people sometimes. I just don't have the same mentality. I think where I've come from, it makes me think of people that don't have. And I'm around them as well. But it just sort of seems like we're taking from the sick when it comes to that Obamacare replacing. It seems like we're taking from the sick and giving to rich people. And for people in the government to stand up there and say, I heard some guy say, not having health care has never killed anybody. What? Not having health care has never killed anybody. You mean you don't know anybody ever had health care? Those are two different things. Not having health care has killed many people. Not having health care has stopped people from going and getting checked out, and then they end up dying. So I just think we have a lot of people on the higher ups that don't know anything. They don't know anything about life. And their lives have been very cushy. And once again, I don't know where it goes from here, but I'm scared. And every week, it seems like I didn't do this podcast to talk about the government. I didn't. I did this podcast to talk about what's going on in Tampa and sports, which I do talk about, and events, which I do go to. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. But with this government thing going on, I feel like I'm wasting my time talking about events and other things, because in 10 years from now, I think people will look back at this little time and go, whoa, like there's got to be a label for it. I don't know what it's going to be. Watergate's taken. But when they're showing, you know, the similarities between Nixon and Clinton, there's a lot of similarities there, and a lot of ways that, you know, the way he's acting was exactly the way Nixon was acting. So we don't know how that the whole thing's gonna end out. Now, the one thing I saw this week that I'm gonna support Donald Trump with, because that was certainly not supporting right there. There was a Spanish teacher that put Donald Trump's face on a piñata. She put Donald Trump's face on a piñata in class and had her kids hit Donald Trump's face with a piñata. Now, shame on you, okay? We still do live in the United States of America. Whether we don't agree with what our president is doing or not, we still should be a fan and we still should be cheering for him. We're still trying. And to have your kids hitting a president in the face with a stick doesn't help anything. So shame on you. You should lose your job for that. And I don't rarely say that. You should lose your job for that. That's not molding our young kids, okay? What would have happened if 4 years ago a white teacher would have put Obama's face on a pinata. What would happen then? If you're okay with that, shame on you, that as well. I'm not okay with either one of them. That is that's the ruler of our country. You're supposed to respect him in that manner, especially when you're talking to kids. And when you're talking to kids, you should tell kids to respect the government and let them come up with their own ways and views when they get older. It's just the whole respecting the government thing, it's becoming tough because it's as crazy as I've ever seen it. And it's just not portrayed in a good light anymore. And what's not good is my young daughters who are in their 20s now or in 18 and 19, for the first time they're watching the government and taking heed to what's happening. And I think this is what they believe it is. They watch Scandal, as I do. I love Scandal, by the way. They're watching Scandal, and you should be watching Scandal thinking, this is an outlandish soap opera type thing. Like when I used to watch Days of Our Lives, okay? I don't watch it anymore. Well, my wife still watches it. But when I'm watching Days of Our Lives, I'm not actually thinking that somebody's going to die 8 times in 4 years and come back, or be in 8 fires and come back. It doesn't really happen in real life. And I like to believe that when I'm watching Scandal, that stuff that doesn't happen in real life, but I am wrong, okay? It's like literally Scandal is foreshadowing and showing us or letting us know what's going to happen in our government. And to me, that's sad. I'm not going to stop watching Scandal, and obviously I'm not going to stop watching what's going on with our government because our boy Donald Trump is making it a whole lot of fun. Now, big events coming up June 30th at the Mahaffey. Tickets should be on sale in a week or two. We're going to have a big dignitary party at the Mahaffey. Pitbull Toddler is going to be playing, and I have acts like Phase 5, Kyle Schroeder, who's a great saxophone player, The Real Clash, Forrest Hoffer. I got this young man, Sandor Milano, who is a opera singer. Nala Price, Freeman, Janelle. I got some DJs playing. I got the Seminole Hard Rock girls and guys now. And I even have a jam skater, Giovanni Juju Ramos. So put June 30th on your calendar. Tickets are going to be on sale soon. We're going to have wonderful food. Eddie V is going to be doing the catering for our VIP section, our Touch Vodka VIP section. We're going to have some beers involved, some wonderful food, and a lot of sexiness. So June 30th at the Mahaffey, get yourself ready, get yourself a nice outfit, and we'll be ready to roll. This weekend, I'll be at Gennaro's on Sunday from 11 to 1. I will also be at Ducky's doing a little DJing from noon to 3 on Saturday, so you want to go check that out as well. I appreciate you guys listening in for what I'm hearing. People are signing up and listening on a consistent basis. And hopefully this next week that comes up, there'll be some good sports stuff, some good pop culture stuff. And for God's sakes, we know there's going to be some good government stuff as well. Have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out dignitaryradio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. Bringing that flavor.
When you are looking for the latest news and notes going on in the world of mixed martial arts, the MMA Report podcast is the place to come. News from the UFC, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, and so much more. And also, we'll have interviews with some of your favorite fighters. The MMA Report podcast can be found on RadioInfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud.